Well, this morning we're looking at Job, and we have just two more weeks of Job to this Sunday and next Sunday, and we're coming to the... Job is interesting, I think, because in this week we have... In the previous chapters, we've had Job speaking, and we've had his three friends, you know, their opinions, and all that. And they kind of represent, like, us, you know. People have an opinion, you know. Everybody has an opinion. And, well, who's right? Well, if I have an opinion, I'm right then, you know. But, and so the conflict goes on, and Job, he doesn't curse God. He doesn't understand God. He doesn't understand what he's doing. And of course, his three friends, they have the human perspective of and human logic that says, if something bad has happened, you have to have sinned. You know, basically that's what they were saying, that you know there's sin in your life, and you must really be a really bad guy in order for all this to happen. Now, again, when we make an opinion, form an opinion, we see things, we look at it from our glasses and our perspective and from the direction we're looking at and from our own experiences, and we have an opinion. Well, God says here to Job, and we'll look at this, and he says, basically, Job, were you there whenever I created the universe? You know, whenever I put the sea in its own boundaries? Do you have a hand in the horse and how that it, you know, goes into battle, or the eagle or the hawk? How does it know where to go? Do you have an input in this? And what I think what Job and what God is conveying through all of this is, in everything that we have an opinion, in everything that we feel like we are so right, God comes along and says, wait a minute. You know, he doesn't say to Job, you did this wrong, you did that wrong, this is wrong, that he doesn't do that at all. It's almost like he's saying to Job, have you considered how many other things are here than just your opinion? Have you considered how other things, you know, look at the stars and the sky and the, you know, how about daybreak? How about morning? How about, you know, the sun and the sky and the star? Who put all those in place? So let's get a different perspective from a different view. And God asks Job questions. He doesn't confront him with and say that he was wrong. But he does tell his three friends, those three guys, he tells them where, you know, they're kind of messed up, you know, and trying to pawn off their understanding of life and death and all the things that happen as the final authority. And I always think people who have the final authority lack the authority to be final. That's a Dave McGee-ism. You should write that down. Write that down. What's that? I'll have to write it down and put it in the book. He who thinks he has the final authority doesn't have the authority to have the final word. How about something like that, anyhow? So, last week, our lesson focused on Job's three friends, Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar. And after their three speeches in chapters 12 through 37, there also contains some of the speeches of Job. And this week, we are moving past those speeches to focus on chapters 38 through 40. Now, in these chapters, we see the message God spoke to Job and God's response to Job. All right? Now, one of the things is God, I find this... I don't think I would have thought of this. It says that God loved Job greatly. All right? It's almost like whenever in grief, if you tell children, you know, grandpa died, well, why did they die? Well, God loved them greatly. He took them home. You know, it's the body snatchers. He came and stole them out of, well, I don't want God loving me. you know. And so the child, you know, I don't want God loving me. I'm not going to church. You know, I'm not going to listen to that love stuff. Well, and the same thing here. God loved Job greatly, and it's like, okay, do I want God loving me? Yeah. Right. And well, and going, always I think of it, remember that Job was looking for, Satan was looking for an example to prove that God couldn't, people who love God couldn't make it. Okay? And so Satan could not speak unless God gave him permission to. Satan does not initiate the conversation. God does. And that's another thing I learned from this lesson. Satan is not the initiator of the conversation. God is. And I like the other two things that Satan says this, that he cannot get to Job because God has put a hedge about him. And later on, Job wants to die, but he can't get out because God has put a hedge about him. Okay, so one is to keep evil out, and the other is to keep us in from doing something stupid, you know. So, but the hedge is still there. So if what happens inside the hedge, we have to, and with Job, no matter what has happened, it's still within the hedge. Well, yeah, but Job, in all of his losses and all of the things that went on in his life, he was still inside that hedge because Satan could not do anything to Job unless he had permission. So Job was under the hand of God, but Job didn't understand being under the hand of God. And what happens to Job is kind of, you know, How many things happen to us we don't understand? And is it, you know, well, the devil's doing this. Well, how do you know? Maybe God is allowing this in your life because you need this in your life in order to maintain the direction you're going in your life. You know? So we then need to see how God is in charge of all things and everything give thanks. You know, that's the hard one. And everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So what we are doing is giving thanks for the situation so that we are opening the doors for God to do the thing and for us to see the thing as God is working. And for Job, that doesn't come till the end. Till it's, you know, he's sitting on the ash heap and he's scraping his sores with broken pots, you know, and, you know, he's just in misery and so, and his three friends come and help him out. So during the course of Job's speeches to his friends, it was evident that Job had not lost his faith, but he had become confused. Okay? We don't understand all things, but we believe. You know, we believe that God is in charge, and so I'm confused as to why this is going on, God, but we still have faith. And he had become confused and doubtful, and this is, I think, the most important part. He became doubtful about his status with God. You see, Job expressed the desire to die and wished he had never been born. Still, he maintained faith in God. This was evident. Okay, but what he does, though, is he thought God had given up on him. And what was so discouraging to Job was he thought God had given up on him, you know, that I've lost my status with God. Why? Because he was looking at all the things that happened to him and thought God must have forsaken me. But we know that he still has faith, and this is Job 19, 25, 26, 27, somewhere in there. This is one of my all-time favorites of the book of Job. I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth, And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. So Job believes in a resurrection. Job believes that God is going to stand upon the earth. And Job knows that his flesh is going to be eaten by the worms, but in his flesh he's going to see God with his own eyes. Now, nowhere in any type of biblical, there was no biblical writings when Job happened. So these are the things, when Job was written and Job's life happened, these are truths that Job understood of God in his own heart. So, and see, there are things in our own hearts that we understand, but we have to understand them based upon the scripture, not upon, we can base our hope upon the scriptures and upon the foundation of Jesus Christ, not upon, I think it's this way, or I think it's that way. No, it's upon the scriptures. What else? All right, verse 1 of Job chapter 38. We go through Job 38, 39, and 40 in a matter of moments here. And I like this. I listened to it in another version. It says, then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind. Another version says that the Lord answered Job from the eye of the storm, the hurricane. And in the eye of the storm, it's like we're isolated there in this place of peace while the entire, you know, the whole place is being ripped up by this ferocious storm. And it is also this type of storm that, you know, destroyed his house and all of his children were killed. Okay? So here is, talk about going back to, my daughter, her neighbor, friends, was killed at the racetrack. And every Friday night, there's races. And every Friday night, she can't stand to hear the roar of the engines coming across the valley. And it's just a reminder of that night in which this guy was killed. Well, here's Job being reminded of the night in which his children were killed. His greatest losses was the death of his children. And so from the very same thing that caused the death of his children, he now is in with the eye of that storm, and he's there with God. I didn't print out another version, but if you have another version, it says, who is he that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Who is the guy, and this is God is talking to Job, who is he that doesn't have the knowledge to be talking about what he's talking about? And misinterpreting what he's talking about. Somebody have another version? It's Job chapter 38, verse 2. Darkeneth counsel. Who? It's like, yeah. But, you know, who are you to shed light upon what I've done when all you, you know, but what you're doing is not shedding light, you're shedding darkness upon my, what I'm doing. Who has the ability to tell me what I'm doing and why I'm doing it? Okay, so God is not confronting Job with lies. He's asking him questions like, who has the ability to do this? All right. Anybody have a version? Glenda, no other version? I don't know. I imagine they are. Either that or they got blowed off the hill. Well, Job, it's directed at all three, but primarily God is having the conversation with Job. So we're assuming that it's Job who is the one who has, again, it, you know, Naked I came into the world, naked I'm leaving, I got nothing, I came with nothing, I'm leaving with nothing. I don't understand why, but this, you know. So who's got the ability to interpret what I've done? Go ahead. That's it. Why do you talk about what you don't know nothing about? Okay? You really don't know. What we do is, again, this is you know, very common. This is where we all come from. Well, let me tell you what I think. Well, what we're doing is we're giving our perspective of the issue and how that it happens. So, verse 3, keep that version open. Gird up now thy loins like a man, and I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. Okay, read verse 3.
It's hard to tell, but I'll read the next. Pull yourself together, Joe. Up on your feet, stand tall. I have some questions for you, and I want some straight answers.
Okay. Okay, Job. Get up, stand up, and let's deal with this. Okay. It's my kind of God here, you know. Let's stand up and let's look at this and let's deal with this, but let's do it from a different perspective than what you're looking at it from. You see, that's why we have to be spiritually sensitive enough to know that God has another view of us, of our life, than we do. And God has another view of other people's lives than what we see. And what we see is only a limited perspective. We don't know the entire perspective of background, and we don't know where God is taking us in the future. So that's why we have to be sensitive, spiritually sensitive enough, not to put both feet in our mouth with both hands there at the same time. It does, you know. So, stand up like a man, and I've got some questions for you. Okay? Now, notice that he's not going to, let me straighten you out, Job. No. Let me tell you where you went wrong. No. Job, I have some questions for you. All right? And I want a straight answer. Okay, this is God asking Job. I want a straight answer. Well, actually, Job had asked God, I wish you would speak to me. Okay? He got his wish. Job, where were you at when I laid the foundations of the earth? Okay? Where were you whenever I did this? I created this place. Sometimes whenever we think that we are the center of our universe, we need to remember that God is the center of the universe and that God put this all together, and when we think we have a better idea about how the universe should be run, and God comes up to us and says, where were you at when I created this place? And where do you think I'm taking this? Do you think that the Democrats and the Republicans and the, you know, everybody out, do you think they run this place? You think the communists always remembered whenever Khrushchev had his finger on the button was going to send the missiles? And it's like, do you think some guy in the Kremlin runs this world? Or somebody in the Middle East? No, there's only one ruler of this place. And whenever we think we can argue with him, we need to look at Job and say, where were you at whenever I created this place? Declare your answer if you really have understanding in this, Job. Where were you at whenever I created this place? And if you have understanding about this question, Job, I want you to answer me. What's it say? Yeah, what's it say? Yeah. If you know so much about this whole thing, tell me how it is. All right? Then verse 5. Who hath laid the measure thereof? Who has laid out the blueprints or the measuring line for the earth? If you know, or who hath stretched the line upon it? Can you read it, dear?
Who decided on its size? Certainly you know that. Who came up with the blueprints and
the measurements? So Job, okay, this is kind of like whenever we think that life is really out of control and God has lost his direction. And I was watching this movie last night. It was on the Auschwitz. And it was on the Jewish network. I didn't even know there was a Jewish network. But anyhow, I was watching this and about all the things that happened, and you would think that if anyone could have questions like Job, it would be the people in Auschwitz, you know? And we would be one of those, why do you talk without knowledge? And we don't know why or whatever, but in one way, the only thing that could bring Israel back to being a nation and get the United Nations to vote them into being a nation in one day was Auschwitz and Germany. The devil tried to destroy the Jews, but instead he gave them a homeland. So, and same thing goes on in our life. In verses 8 through 18, not included in the text, but if you can bring it up 14. So he designed a creature and designed and created the seas from their beginning. He set their boundaries and their limits, meaning the ocean. The ocean can come so far and no further. God put the land there. What else? God asked Job if he had controlled the morning. Do you have control of the morning since you were born? Have you been able to control the sun coming up and going down? So we're looking at, and God is saying, can you get another perspective of this whole thing? I have created this place. I set the stars, the moon, the sun coming up and going down. You know, you look at these, the Aztecs and the Incas and all the, you know, in Central America, how that they would slaughter people by the thousands to the god of the sun so that it would come back up in the morning. You know, and they thought because they killed all these people and offered them as sacrifices, it brought the sun back. yeah, sacrifice. And it's crazy, but the Central America, I think it was the Aztecs, they had their cities were so vast. I mean, they're bigger than some of the cities we have today, but they disappeared overnight. Because they killed themselves, sacrificed themselves out of existence. The people just fled the cities. And there was nothing left to them. And they grew up as jungles. Craziness of mankind. What's verse 14? Read it, Rhonda. I thought of the picture of the Earth from outer space, the big blue marble. Job writes about the big blue marble. Before there was any spaceships. And ancient aliens weren't the ones who revealed this to Job, in case some of you were listening to the ancient alien theories. chapter 38, verse 21. Knowest thou it? Okay, do you know it? Read that from the message, verse 21. You've known them all your life, grown up in the same neighborhood. God continues demonstrating that Job was merely human and therefore has limited understanding and knowledge. Job did not understand how light and darkness came into being and function because he was not alive when God created him. And he was not old enough to have seen their origins. So Job's limitations seemingly were endless, but God was not through with his comparisons and questions. Okay? You weren't there when I did all this. So let's get another look at this. Verse 22, God asked Job if he had seen where the snow and hail originate from. You know? Yeah. Verse chapter 39, So here, chapter 39, if you, I was listening to it on, the Bible on the computer, being read. And God continues his speech with more questions in chapter 39. And his thoughts intended to help Job recognize the Lord's greatness and God's authority. Okay? So what God is doing with Job is he's causing him to focus somewhere other than his sufferings. There's something more to this than what you are seeing. That I haven't lost control. I haven't somehow stumbled or fallen asleep. So he's outlining for Job his greatness and his authority over all of these things. Our assumption is if God has authority over it, then why doesn't he change it? Because I've been asking. God's message to Job is one of love and mercy. So when God is explaining this then to Job, it's not like, the big guy telling the little guy he's going to knock him off the bench if he doesn't pay attention. get this right or I'm going to squish you like a bug. It's not that type of lecture. It is one-on-one with Job, conveying to Job just the, so as Job is listening to this and as Job is having insight into all this, it's changing his perspective, not because God is slapping him alongside the head. It's because God is his friend and going through this reasoning with Job. Job, let's sit down and talk about this. And Isaiah says, "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as wool." So God says, "Come on, guys, let's sit down and talk about this. Let's figure this out." And you go through the whole system of the Lamb, the sacrifice, and Christ being the Lamb of God, and you begin to understand how sins can be forgiven and our life be washed by the blood of the Lamb. While Job and God are having this conversation, it is, as it were, a private conversation. Now, where the other guys are, I don't know. But in the eye of the storm, it's just Job and God. And so he is listening to God speak to him about the authority and the place that God occupies. He is not speaking to Job for punishment or to make him feel inferior or guilty. Instead, God's words are intended for Job's well-being. God's message includes many examples of incredible varieties of animals he created. So he's helping Job to see, I created the animals and I take care of them. All right? Doth the hawk, verse 26, doth the hawk fly by thy wisdom and stretch her wings toward the south? Okay, Job, does the hawk have instincts given by you? Doth the eagle mount up at thy command and make her nest on high? Did you get the eagle to go where it needs to be? Okay, now let's think about this. I've taken care of the hawk. I've taken care of the eagle. Has its nest up in the cracks of the rock, a strong place. From thence she seeketh prey, and her eyes behold afar off, eagle eye. She's able to see the great distances away and pick out its prey. From the lofty heights, Job, did you put that animal up there? I took care of the hawk and the animal. And from thence she seeth the prey. Her young ones also suck up blood. And where the slain are, there is she. So it's like roadkill. I think the translation has it. That the hawk is able to, and the eagle is able to see these things. And God is telling Job, I put all this there for these animals, these instincts. For the animal to fly south in the winter. Who put those instincts in her? Did they come because of you? Or Do you think I did this? And the analogy is, if I can take care of these, I can take care of you, Job. Then verse chapter 40, verse 1. Moreover, the Lord said to Job, shall he that contendeth with the Almighty instruct him? I think the translation says, are you going to take me to court, Job? Is that what it says? Verse 2. Yeah.
Will the one who contends with the Almighty correct him?
Yeah. So if you're going to accuse God, then give your answer. See, again, Job is verging on the, he's, God, why is okay. God, you have destroyed, it's like we're going to make an accusation against God. It's like the guy who wrote his book, and his book was intended to prove that there was no God. And when he was finished, he proved that there, beyond a doubt in his mind, God exists, and he became a believer. But he set out to prove there is no God, and he ended up believing. See, this is where, again, where people become so focused on what's in their life, they can't see life from God's perspective. They can't see that, all this around them. And, I know people that they watch the animals and they watch the birds and they count the number of birds that fly south, and they're, very interested in all the birds and their flights and when they leave and what day of the year they come and go, past their watch, past their observatory. And they think, well, it's just instinct. But how do they know the day? How do they know? We had this friend, it was a pastor of mine when I was a child, and they lived at Lakeland, Florida. And she had a calendar, a book, a diary she wrote in every year. And every year at the same day, this bird showed up on her dock. And just for one day. And this bird was not supposed to be there. It was it's supposed to go through Texas. But this bird went through Florida and landed on her dock on the same day every year. Instinct says, I got to get out of here. Direction is, you got to get out of here today. So he that reproveth the, he that's the, what does it say, verse 3? Go up from up there. He answered the Lord and said, I lay my hand upon my mouth. Oops. I should have never said anything than to say the wrong thing. So I'm vile. I'm speechless. How can I answer you? I should just have kept my mouth shut and waited for you, basically, to come through. Go ahead. Verse 5. I didn't plan it. Once have I spoken, but I will not answer. That's what it says here. Once I have spoken, and I will not answer. I'm not going to answer that question. That's it. So, then answered the Lord. Go ahead, verse 6. Go to verse 6.
God addressed Job next from the eye of the storm.
Okay, so he's still in the whirlwind. He's still within the eye of the storm, and God is still addressing him. So he hasn't left this place of isolation, but yet complete disaster around him. Go ahead.
And this is what he said. I have some more questions for you, and I want straight
Well, you see, when God asks us questions, he's wanting us to be honest with ourselves. Because God already knows the answer. He knows what the thoughts and the intents of our heart are. So he wants us to be honest with ourselves, and to be honest with God is to be honest with ourselves. And so, and to admit that we don't have the answers is not a bad thing. You know, sometimes we think we have to have the answers in order to have security, but in reality, we live with a God who has all the answers, and in our faith, we have eternal security. We are secure for an eternity because of God's word in our hearts and in our lives. So whenever we have all the questions, and so it's almost like, okay, we've had 37, 38, 39 chapters of all this stuff going on, and counsel and rebukes and rebuttals and questions and, you know, Job and all this going back and forth, looking at life from human perspectives. This is how we see it. This is how we deal with this. But it's different. God says, this is how I see it. Now, let's look at this from my perspective, God is saying. Can you cause the sun to come up? Can you cause the animals, the birds, to fly south in winter? Were you there in creation whenever I put the sea within its own boundaries? Were you there when I put the stars in the sky, in the moon, in the sun, in the rotation of the planets? So we're getting the vastness of our Creator. Now we're coming down to our own understanding of life. Go ahead. Gird up thy loins, verse 7, like a man, so stand up. Go ahead, read that.
I have four questions for you, and I want straight.
Verse 8. Job, are you calling me a sinner that I have done things wrong? God, you did this all wrong. Yeah, really? Will you condemn me that you may be the one who is called righteous? Not my fault. It's like the boy down in Kernville. He hit the ball, and he's playing in the park. You know, there's a house there, and he has a vacant lot, and he's hitting the ball off the side of the house, and there's windows on the side of the house, so I just waited for a while, and sure enough, he drove the ball through the window. He dropped the bat and said, it's not my fault, and ran away. Yeah, somebody put a house with windows there. It's not my fault. Yeah, would you condemn me to justify yourself?
And that's what I think people want, to try to make you look bad. And then some people get that self-guilt, you know, that it is my fault. I'm sorry, you know.
But think about how this was the oldest book written, oldest thing going on, and it's, you know, with Job, and how much of it is still runs the gamut of our own lives. These thousands of years later. And it's saying, verse 9, hast thou an arm like God? Or canst thou thunder with a voice like him? Read verse 9.
Do you have an arm like my arm? Can you shout in thunder the way I
can? Yeah. So, what we are doing here is establishing God's supremacy. We are establishing his authority. We are like chaff that the wind drives away. But in Christ, see, in Christ, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So what we are doing is aligning ourselves with the word and aligning ourselves with an understanding. Faith is a substance. the more knowledge we have of God, the greater the substance of our faith. The greater our knowledge of God and the application of spiritual truths to our life, the greater our faith. That becomes a substance of which we sit on, stand on, walk in. It's God and I together. I will not die. I will live. I will live forever. So, and as we look at this, then we have this, you know, the New Testament principles of how that God has established his word in our life. So we don't have to be like Job and sit on the ash heap of the ruins of our life and somehow think that we've lost our position with God. Because nothing can separate us from the love of God. So we have what Job didn't have. We have the word that says, though he slay me, yet will I praise him. Though all these things go wrong, I still can never be separated from God. Job didn't have that word. He just had that understanding in his mind and his heart. It wasn't written for him. He just knew it in his relationship with God, that God wasn't like that. Verse 14. So, okay, Job, if you think you can do this on your own, okay, I'll step out of the picture. You have it on your own. And, you know, whenever I think God does that. You know, when we say, look at how God has punished all these people, it's like, God isn't punishing them. That's their own sin destroying them. God doesn't have to punish them in this life. He will step aside and give them all the rain they want. You don't want to be? Okay, here, do it on your own. they can never be outside God's grace. He's there, he's watching over, you know, it's all that kind of thing. But that's, for ourselves, we don't do that. We may not understand, but we don't turn it over, okay, walk off, turn our back on God. Go ahead, verse 15.
Look at the land beast, behemoth.
The behemoth. So we don't know what the behemoth is. It's just a very large animal, and some have thought it was a dinosaur, and some have thought it's like the elephant and, you know, the mammoth or something like that. We don't really know, just know that it eats grass. And look, lo, how now his strength is in his loins. It just talks about how strong this animal is and, you know, how that he moves his tail like a cedar, and the sinew of his stones means he's just like, his bones are like iron, and his, you know, strong pieces of brass, and, you know, all of this is there, and God says, and I lead him around like a lamb. Put a nose ring in him, and I lead him around. So here's these animals, you know, so large and so huge that where did they come from? I made them. And you're not going to take them in and make them your house pet, you know. And he talks about the oxen and, you know, how strong the ox is, or the bison, how strong the bison is, and how you're not going to domesticate a bison, you know, plow your fields and things. So anyhow, if Job will do this, God will confess that Job's own right hand can save him. So if Job, if you can do all this, I'll turn it over to you. All right? So that takes us to the end of this chapter, and next week we see how Job and God and all this comes together and comes to an end. The final word of scripture in our lesson is Romans 9:20. Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? Meaning God has the final say to form each vessel for its own particular purpose. And that's what we see in the life of Job and all this that's going on. And in this circle of the eye of the storm, Job is having this conversation with God. And we are privy to that conversation and next week to the outcome of all of this. In the Job, I like best study we've ever done in Job. Amen. Thank you very much. Father, thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord, that you watch over us. And Lord, help us that we recognize that we are always in your care and that we are the clay and you are the potter. And help us, Lord, to see things from a divine perspective and not be so caught up in what we see and what we understand. But Lord, with your wisdom and guidance, we begin to understand things differently. So we ask your blessing now upon us and upon your word in our life. And Lord, we will give you praise. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. We pray in thy name. Amen. Amen. Amen.